As the Pie and Pray service is coming on Tuesday, so I had an entirely different sermon, completely written in enough time to not coming close to the deadline of being here. And then last night I was sitting there ready to go to sleep, and Ephesians 5:20. That's going to be our passage tonight. Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20 came into my head, and I'm laying down, and it kept gnawing at me and gnawing at me and gnawing at me. And so I'm essentially, as I'm laying there last night in bed, I'm writing this sermon in my head as I'm going through these different things. So then, of course, I get my phone, I open up the Bible app, and I'm going through different passages, and I'm getting the sermon more and more in my head. I'm like, well, I'll just go to sleep because there's no way I'm going to write that sermon now. It's like, 1:30 in the morning. So I go to sleep, and it's gnawing at me the whole time during Sunday school, and then I come in here, and pastor's preaching, and it made me think of other things. So I said, okay, all right. So I went home this afternoon, and I wrote this sermon this afternoon because I just couldn't get it out of my brain that I needed to write this sermon for this time. So somebody obviously needs this sermon. I'm not going to discount myself as well. So as we get going on to the Pie and Pray service, and then as the week goes on to Thanksgiving, many times what you're going to see as this season goes on is you're going to see Facebook is going to have, posted something every day that you're thankful for, and you're going to have the decorations with the turkeys and the pilgrims, and everyone being, I'm so thankful for blank, and whatever. So my thought process was, what if you're not thankful? What do you do when you don't feel thankful? Then what? Like, what if there's something going on? So, if you're already in Ephesians 5:20, in this passage, there is a command, which many believe, and I think I do also, is that this is going to be the hardest command in the entire Bible. Especially in our world today, where everyone is so busy, there's so much going on, and to be honest, the way that our minds work today, everything is the best or the worst that has ever happened whenever it happens, right? But correspondingly, this passage may bring the greatest blessing of all if it's obeyed. So let's look at it. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I say that this is, and it may be, the hardest command in the entire Bible to obey. So there are four levels of life when it comes to Thanksgiving. All right, there are the people who are constantly complaining, right? Everybody knows at least one, right? Maybe they're the people that you dread are going to come over on Thursday, right? They just can't find good in anything. One woman was married to a man like that, and he could never be pleased. So one morning she got out of bed and determined that she was going to please him. So she said, "Sweetheart, what do you want for breakfast? Anything you want, I'll cook whatever you want, however you want it. I'm just going to do it for you." And he said, "Okay, I want 2 pieces of toast. I want 1 piece whole wheat and 1 piece white. I want the whole wheat lightly buttered and nothing on the white piece. I want 2 eggs. I want 1 fried, over easy, and 1 scrambled. You got it?" And I see a bunch of women here like, well, he'd be feeding himself, right? All right, cereal it is, right? I think we got Pop-Tarts left. That's what my wife would say. So, but she really wanted to please her husband, right? So she goes and she says, okay. So she fixed him breakfast just like that, and she gave it to him. And she noticed he still has that face on, like he just sucked on a lemon, like he still has the sourpuss face on. And he looks, and she says, "Darling, what's wrong?" And he said, "You scrambled the wrong egg." Some people, you just can't please them no matter what, right? And we all know those people, because they're always complaining, right? So the next level up from that are the individuals that are just ungrateful, right? The people that are just ungrateful. They're not complaining all the time, but they're ungrateful. And this, many times, describes a lot of Christians today, right? Outwardly, we are fine. How's everything going? Good. But inwardly, not good, right? And we're not outwardly complaining, but we're ungrateful for what the Lord has given to us. And we go throughout our lives reaping the benefits of God's goodness and never looking up to say thank you. All right? So the next level from that are the people who are grateful, but for the obvious blessings, right? So if they have health, they thank God for help. If they have food, they thank God for food. If they have clothes, they thank God for clothes. But that's where it stops, and it stops at the obvious blessings of their life. But the highest level, right? I guess you could call it the Bible level, or the level that this verse is talking about, is giving thanks always for all things. Now, that is the highest level of living. That's the highest level of life. And it is the level that's going to get you through life. Now, I'd like to break down this type of thanks a little bit further, all right? So I've got a few points. So first point I want to look at for thanksgiving. Number one would be the duration of thanksgiving, or the duration of giving thanks, right? So he says in this verse that we are to be giving thanks always. Now, to me, always means always, okay? Blessings never cease. Therefore, thanksgiving should never cease. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always. So, what does that tell me? All right, that tells me giving thanks one day a year on a Thursday in November is not enough. We need to give thanks 365 days a year. Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Lamentations 3:23, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." New every morning, talking about God's goodness, God's blessings. God has been good to you with a great faithfulness every day. Every day ought to have a liberal portion of thanksgiving. And every prayer ought to have thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." If you ask God for more blessings and don't thank God for what He's already done for you, then you're a fool. Then you're a fool. If you come to God and say, do this or do that, and don't thank Him for what He's already done, you're being wicked and foolish. I mean, you just are. Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, most of us need to pull a few of the groans out of our prayers and insert maybe a few thank yous or a few hallelujahs. So what is the duration of thanksgiving? The duration of thanksgiving is always. It's always. Perpetually thanking God. And why is that? Thanks should never cease because the blessings never cease. They never do. So, secondly, we're going to look at the dimensions of thanksgiving. The dimensions of thanksgiving. We are to be giving thanks for all things. Not just always, but for all things. And to be honest, this makes it just that much more difficult though, doesn't it? I mean, as you're reading it through, it seems elementary, but you're saying, okay, always, so all the time, and for all things. And then you're like, okay, I could maybe do the always, but now for the all things, okay, as you start breaking down your day, or your week that you've had, or the month that you've had, and you think, man, I'm supposed to thank God for everything that just happened, right? When my engine of my car blows up, right? When I have to do these things, that really stunk. I don't know if I want to thank God for that. Why should we give God thanks for all things? Because God rules all things, and we should then thank Him for all things. Ephesians chapter 5, look back at it. I want to start back at verse 19 now. It says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Thankfulness comes before praise. No matter what happens, according to this passage, we are to have a song in our heart always. Now, we need to thank God for the simple things in life, right? For water. We go to our sink and we turn on the tap and water comes out. And as long as we've paid the bill, we know there's going to be water there. And we're pretty sure it's going to be clean, right? We don't live in, you know, the backwoods of Africa or Michigan, so we're fine, right? So we're good. We should thank God if you go to my house, you go to the sink, and there's dirty dishes, right? Always. But you got to thank God for those, right? You got to thank God for those. Because if you have dirty dishes, that means somebody was able to eat something, right? And we should be thankful for that, because there are individuals who aren't eating anything, right? Those are just the simple things that we can thank God for. But what about the sorrowful things? What about when we don't feel thankful? What about when we hurt? What about when there are problems that God alone knows the depth of how deep they go? What can you thank Him for heartache? Can you thank Him for sorrow? I'm not the writer of this passage. I'm just the delivery boy tonight. But this was written by the Apostle Paul, and he wrote this from prison. Right? He wrote these words and he was in prison. Now this wasn't some day camp prison, right? This was not a good place. And he had been unjustly accused. He's now languishing in prison and he's still saying, give thanks for all things. Why? Why do that? Well, let me talk to you a little bit about the overruling hand of God. The overruling providence of God. And let's look at some of the things that problems and sorrows and death and sickness and heartache can do for us. Right? So let's look at some of the things. Number one, when we have trouble, it may correct us. Okay? So I'm going to read off some of these passages. You don't have to turn there, but Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous. Well, that's true, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Suffering and pain, it sometimes corrects us, and if that is the case, then thank God for that. If God has to shake me a little bit to get my attention, then thank God for that. Number two, it may cause us to have greater dependency on God. You know, it's just a fact that many times if we don't have difficulties, we're going to lose sight of God and His plan for our life. We would stop depending on Him. We would. You might say you wouldn't, but you would. You would. But we are crowded by our trouble to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now this is Paul, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. So three times he says, Lord, take this from me, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God said, I will not take it away, I'm just going to give you strength. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Man, Paul is saying that God in His love for me gave me a thorn in the flesh so that I would depend on Him and lean on His strength. Paul did not say, what can't be cured must be endured. Right? He didn't say that. Paul said, what cannot be cured will be enlisted, will be enjoyed, and I will gladly rejoice in my infirmities. Ephesians 5:20. Gladly, thanks, or giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes this suffering causes us to have a greater dependence upon God. Number three, it will confirm your testimony to others. When we endure and keep praising, we shut the devil's mouth. We just shut his mouth. Because inevitably, there are going to be individuals who will say, you only serve God because you've never known any trouble. Because people are going to think that, right? So people are going to see Pastor Anderson, and they're going to see him going around, and he's and inevitable. Like when I was at the AIBCI, I was talking to, I don't know names very well. So I was talking to a guy, right? And a pastor guy, right? And I was talking to him, and he was like, so where are you from? I said, I'm Alan Harrell. I'm the church planter of Crystal Lake, and my pastor is Dave Anderson. He's over there. And he's like, oh, yeah, that guy. I met him earlier. Oh, no, it was the speaker. It was the speaker. It was Bill Rice, right? Or Will Rice, or Mr. Rice, or something Rice. So Mr. Rice, the speaker. So he was there, and I was talking to him. He was like, yeah, I met him earlier. He was the first guy I met, and he smiles all the time. He's so nice. So somebody meets Pastor Anderson, and he smiles all the time. And somebody's going to be like, man, that guy, he can't be for real. Like, they're either going to think he's faking it, or they're going to think he just smiles because nothing bad's ever happened to him. They don't know what's happened in his life. They don't know, right? They have no idea. But his testimony is such that even though these things have happened in his life, he can still rejoice in God's goodness, right? And there's everybody in this room has something like that, right? Everybody. So, it will confirm your testimony to others. Philippians 1:12, but I would you be understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. To suffer for his sake. When we can go through disappointments, fears, tears, problems, and still serve God, it shuts the devil's mouth and it confirms our testimony to those people who are inevitably watching us. Because they're watching, right? And that's something that, you know, as we've had, you know, different, you know, trials and tribulations and whatever through our life, that's something that my wife always brings back to me all the time. When she's like, you know, we say blank to the teens, right? Or you preach blank. And how we handle this is something that people are going to look at. And how are we going to say this and then handle it differently? Or, you know, whatever. So that's something that you always have to be conscious of, is your testimony. Your testimony. Just think about the afflictions that Paul had endured up until this time when he's writing these words that we're reading. He had suffered shipwrecks. He had suffered beatings and mockings and persecution and hunger and thirst and nakedness and character assassination. And God used all of this then as a platform for him to proclaim the gospel to the whole world. Still to this day. Another thing that suffering will do, number four, it will bring you to a deeper maturity. Psalm 119:67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Psalm 119:71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Many times we never really look up until we're flat on our back. I mean, that's just how we are as human beings. Many times we never see until our eyes just get washed by our own tears. You see, God's priority for us is not primarily health and wealth. God's priority for us is not primarily service or usefulness. God's priority for you is spiritual maturity to make you more like Jesus Christ. And the service and the usefulness is an outgrowth of that. Right? James 1:4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And the word perfect here means maturity. It doesn't mean, you know, sinlessness. God's purpose is that you will be mature. And he accomplishes this with patience. With some of us, lots and lots of patience, right? And this patience, though, I mean, it's not like, you know, the guy with the long tweezer things, like going and building ships in bottles. Like, that would be crazy, right? I can't even imagine doing it. This patience means endurance, right? Is the better vocabulary for that would be endurance. So to mature, you've got to endure. And if you want to endure, if I'm just being blunt, you need something to endure. You can't endure if you don't have anything to endure. So God allows us to have these things so that we can endure. So that He can then bring us through that endurance to maturity. So if pain and suffering brings you to maturity, then thank God for that pain and that suffering. All right? Number four. This is not the it will bring you to deep maturity, not the sub points. This is back to the regular points. It will bring the excelling glory of God into our lives. 1 Peter 4:12-14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. So Peter knew that some of us would be like, you know, this only happens to me. Or, oh man, there's another thing, that this thing only happens to me. I don't think this has happened to anybody ever in the history of the world. He knew that some of us would be like that. So he's saying, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. As we get closer to the end times, we can expect greater persecution as Christians. Spoiler alert, like we can, right? That's going to happen. So if you can't see that, then you're blind, you're deaf, maybe both, right? I mean, Claire's already both. So, but I'm not talking about like, just, he doesn't even know I'm talking. Hi, Claire. So, more and more Christians are going to be persecuted. They just are. They're going to be persecuted. Now, the more you give God thanks for His persecution, the glory of God is going to then fall upon you. Because no matter what happens, what people do, what people say, in reality, and I'm just being as blunt as possible, you can take those things that these individuals are doing, they're saying, they're throwing your way. You could take those things, as long as you're living for God, and you could just give them back to God. Like an offering, right? Hey, God, you know, this thing is coming into my life because I'm serving you. I'm just going to give it back to you. And really, the worse the persecution, the sweeter the offering to God. Really. In Acts 6, the Bible says that when Stephen was stoned, his face shone like that of an angel. When the three Hebrew children were in the furnace, it says that there was a fourth in there, and his form was like the Son of God. God will never be more real, more dear to you than when you are thanking Him. If we look back at our passage, 1 Peter 4:14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, it says, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Now, these are some of the reasons we ought to give God thanks, not just in all ways, but in all things. And sometimes when we are in trouble, we say, God, why don't you just do something? I don't know what's going on, but I need you to do something. And He may be saying, look, I'm just trying to be as truthful as possible. He's probably saying back, I am doing something. I am. He may be making you more like Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So we've talked about the duration of Thanksgiving. We've talked about the dimension of Thanksgiving. So the third overall point, now let's look at the dynamic of Thanksgiving. How do we do it? How do we do Thanksgiving? Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the dynamic. True thanks should be given to the Father through the Lord Jesus. That's the true dynamic. That's what that's what true thanks is all about. So, the first subpoint here. We give true thanks to the Father. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, which with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God daily loads us with benefits. God is good. God is good. So I don't know who the contrarian is in the room, but inevitably there's always one contrarian. And someone is going to be thinking something like, Pastor Allen, should I be thanking God for murder or disease or death? And I say, absolutely not. You've missed the point, because I'm not telling you that those things are good. Those things are not good. I'm telling you that God is good. Right? God is good. And where God does not rule, He overrules. Unthankfulness is so sinful. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. All right? So the second sub-point here. So number one, we give true thanks to the Father. Number two, we give thanks then through the Son. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the name here actually means through the name. Through the name. That's the dynamic. It is through Jesus Christ. It has to be done through Jesus. If you ever doubt the love and the power of God, then just look at the cross. Look at the cross. See who Jesus Christ actually is. That is the dynamic in our time, in our New Testament time, is through Jesus. If you have Jesus Christ, you can say this Thanksgiving season, thanks be unto God. What is the duration of Thanksgiving? The duration of Thanksgiving is give thanks always. What are the dimensions of Thanksgiving? All things. Everything. And what is the dynamic of Thanksgiving? Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, that's not easy, but that's it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for this time we've had to look into Your Word. And Lord, we are a needy people. Lord, we are imperfect. And Lord, we ask that as we continue to live our lives, as we continue to live in this world and wait for the day that You are coming back, we ask that we can continue to be thankful, that we can love You, not just when things are going well, not just for our food, not just for our clothes, not just for the simple things, Lord, but for everything, even the trials, even the tribulations, even the tears. Lord, please help us to understand that You are in everything. There's teaching in everything. There's growth in everything. And as we have this time in our country for Thanksgiving, and Lord, as we as a church come together on Tuesday and we fellowship and we give You praise, Lord, we ask that we can praise You not just for everything that has gone well in our life, but maybe everything that at one point did not look so good, but we've come out on the other side and You've shown us exactly what we needed to be shown during that time in our life. Lord, we thank You so much for everything that You have done and continue to do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.